So all revival is you just discipline your mind for about 20 or 30 years against things that are totally impossible. If you're given to logic, revival's real hard for you. But you don't have to be illogical. You have to realize that there's a logic that's higher than man's logic. And if you start calculating and reasoning the fact that, what are the odds? Well, I can tell you what the odds are. It's totally impossible. It's totally impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So he helped me to settle that a long time ago. Because if you try to do it numerically by the odds, and if you can't even get into man's reasoning with it, because man's not the one that's bringing this. It's not even our work that's bringing it. It's our obedience to what he said. But it's just as divine as your salvation. You could not, it would have been impossible for you to save yourself. You're a sinner. And without him going to a place for you and crossing that void, it was totally impossible for you to span the void of righteousness and become his righteousness. And he became sin for you, that now we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So our salvation was really on an impossible basis. But he did it once. If he can perform salvation, he can perform the miracle of an outpouring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the day and hour comes like Dave's been talking about. I hope you download the messages that are going on there and put them on your iPod or listen to what's going on. We're all getting closer. I believe he's spearheading. But we're all getting closer. See, the day and hour is coming that we won't just talk about it, but we won't be able to just save. Now see, here's the deal. We have come this far. Now you can acknowledge this. If you go to this church, and I'm not saying this church alone, because I'm not saying we're the only one, you know, I'll always try to go out of my way and try to establish the fact that we don't have a corner on the market. And we're not a maverick bunch where everybody else is not serving God and that we're the only ones walking in. But we are after something that's very peculiar. And that is, that's an outpouring that reflects something that is comparable to, if not in excess of, the book of Acts. You see, I don't believe that he left something that was the epitome, as in nothing can exceed it. He actually laid the foundation and went away and hoped that we'd build on that and go past that. That was his expectation. And a military genius came behind him and in about 4 centuries took the power of the Holy Spirit away. Now, like archaeologists who have continued to build century after century, we're standing on the shoulders. See, even what Dave's gotten and what's been passed on to us and what I get and what you'll pass on to your children, none of it's totally original. In fact, if you want to find the original, you'd have to go back to Paul. You know, Paul said, "This is my gospel." This gospel, he was one of the first, laid that foundation. If you really want to go to the original, it comes straight from the Holy Spirit. But this is how far we've gotten. Nevertheless, standing on the shoulders of a lot of good men and women that have gone before us, we have gotten this far that if something real dreadful hits your life, if you're under this kind of teaching, your chances of survival and beating it are way, way, way. Now I'm just speaking academically now. They're way, way above the statistics and the norm than if you weren't going to a place like this. And if you're a family and your children are involved in something that you're fighting for or you're fighting for, the miracle working power that's here right now is strong enough that if you dive into it and you do the message, you'll win. You'll win. Now, where we want to take it is like what I was about to say earlier, that the messages that Dave's talking about is going into the children's hospitals and just empty them out. Now, revival will travel, because it's not just to a particular locale. Do you understand when we're talking about revival in Immokalee, that endowment comes on people. And people carry that. People carry that. So whoever prayed it in, they can go to places and it just follows them because that authority's in them. So in revival status, I or one of you that carry that inside of you could go to where you were at. And just in a few days' time, cause a tremendous uproar. Tremendous uproar. Because all kind of kids. Now, it grieves me that we're not there yet, but look, we're fighting for it. I lay down and sleep real good, knowing that I'm contending for it. I say, well, we're not there and they're dying all the time. I know it. But who else is even contending for it? It's just good enough for most just to just get a good program going. At least we're contending for it. And you don't think that heaven doesn't do backflips for a bunch of people that'll at least contend for it? Don't condemn yourself. Now the day and hour will come where we'll be able to save a whole lot more than just the Esters. But here's what's good. If we can get you at this state from the beginning, and if you're raised up in it, man, you help us out a lot. Now, I'm working towards the other end. I'm working towards, if you've never heard it, and I just meet you outside of a bar. I'm not in the bar, you're coming out of it. I can get you healed right there. See, we get a lot of cases sometimes that they're just about gone when they get here. And you know what? God somehow manages to get him here as a last-ditch effort. Because he really believes, do you know he believes we can do something about it? Even when we're not believing we can do something about it, he believes, I believe that you can do something about it. But I look sometimes through history and I say, my God, I'm not going to make an excuse for myself, but you'd have made my job a whole lot easier getting you to stay on earth if you'd have come here a year ago or 2 years ago. But that's okay, because we won't stop. Hallelujah. We won't stop. And if you ever, some of you are in store for this, because I've had it not too many times, but just a few times, and I think it comes about by talking it, but I don't think it's just a social thing. I think it's a reality because I felt the peace behind it. A few times, just like for a split second, I don't know, maybe it lasted a couple, 3 seconds, but it felt like you were totally immersed in it. The reality, I don't know, I can't even tell you where I've been at times when it happened. Maybe church or home praying, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I might have been in the woods or something. But the reality of revival, I mean seeing it, and feeling it, and smelling it, and tasting it, the reality transcends from just talking it and speaking about it right now like I am, into a place where you're there for just a few moments. And when you're there for just a few moments, it changes your whole life. One of the reasons why I fight for it sometimes, where it feels like, by all logic, it's because a couple of times in my life, I've stood there and I've felt it. It's a reality. It's a place. And if God keeps getting from you and I what He needs, He'll take us all the way in. Hallelujah. I could feel like an absoluteness like there wasn't no question. Like, even when we say on Friday nights that we believe it, that we see, there's a God kind of faith that takes you over to another side, and it feels like, oh, This is so easy. Why have we been making it so hard? Why is there any discussion about this? Blind see. There's no debate about this. Whether you want to see or not, see. Lame walk. It's like, can you breathe? It's just real. And then you're back and you say, oh God, I want to stay there. Well, he'll take you over there and those are just coming attractions, and he keeps saying, fight for it. Fight for it. I say, why doesn't he leave you there? Because my character's not there yet. Just plain and simple. My character's not there yet. My agape level has not gone to that place. But I'm contending for it. I'm contending for it. I can't tell you how much it touched my heart to find out that he loves me as much as all those invalids that he's wanting me to get healed. He won't put me over there when my character can't take it. When my character can take it, then Satan can't come and he can't destroy me. And he can't destroy anything that belongs to me before the time. My character's there. That's why he'll grind it out with you and grind it out with you. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. This is a church, but it's probably more of a training center than a church. It really is. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of you because you're here for a purpose. Hallelujah. I feel edified. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians chapter 4 for just a few moments. Father, you're here already, and I only take this moment to acknowledge that. And I'm so appreciative of every man and woman and young man and young lady that's here. Father, you're preparing us for something. It's a great deal bigger than what we even realize. So I thank you for your truth. And I release the grace of God both in me and on me, and I pray that all of our ears will hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. It's good to have all of you here. Aaron, it's good to see you, son. It's one of Homer's boys. Hallelujah. I mean, he's really one of his sons. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That may sound simple, but it's powerful. We started out Sunday from Psalms chapter 34, and he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. All seasons of my life, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When you understand what the man was, where he was at, writing this, we've discussed this several times. I can't hardly help but mention it. He was in a dungeon. He wasn't on the French Riviera. He wasn't in the Bahamas. He wasn't on a cruise liner. You know, it is always so easy, myself included, to encourage somebody else when you're up here. You're down. Excuse me, I'm just stepping out to go on vacation. Let me tell you how good God is. Perk up, buddy. Don't let the, you know, revive yourself. David said in 45, I think it was, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He repeated it 3 or 4 times. Why hope in the Lord? It's real easy to give somebody a good victory report when you've got when outside circumstances. But you know, the joy that we're feeling and the joy that we're really coming to know is the joy that is, and we're not just, we've said this for years, but I'm telling you, we're getting some good lessons in this. It has no attachment with anything tangible. And that's wonderful. That's the seedbed for revival. Now, God wants you happy, and God wants to set your world of existence in in order, but it can be turned upside down and it still doesn't have to affect your rejoicing level. This man wrote this in a dungeon. He wrote it in a dungeon that was filled with poop. He wasn't bathing in the sunshine and saying, "Hey, I feel so good. I feel good. Da na 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 na." And I want you to feel good too. God is good. He'll bless you because I'm looking at my three Cadillacs right now. I wonder how many modern day, we don't want to pick on them too much because I might be on television one day, but I wonder how many modern day television preachers, if they were standing in poop, could say, "Now camera, the camera's coming in on him. Excuse me." "Rejoice in the Lord. They've got me in here and they're not letting me out. But again, I want to tell you to rejoice." Now, when he gets down to the bottom part of this chapter, when he says, "I can do all things through Christ," I believe that man. Those other guys with a $2,000 suit on and their bank account is full of your money, and they say, "Now, we can do all things. Remember, I'm coming back next week, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." Put him in a jail cell. Take away his Cadillacs and take away all the pledges for next month and see if he can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'll support that guy." Hallelujah. You're being awful mean tonight. No, that's the truth. I love those guys. He says, "I rejoice in the Lord always. I'm saying to you, rejoice. Let your walk, the strength, the moderation of your walk, your testimony, in other words, be known to all men. The Lord's at hand." And this is what I like. He was able to say, "Be careful for nothing. Anxious about nothing. But in everything by prayer." And I look this word up, prayer. I like this word. It's the word, it's the next word for worship. With worship and supplication, which means requests. With thanksgiving. Look how he sandwiches this. Worship and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And I'll tell you this. You've learned this, all you worshipers here. So I'm so thankful tonight I don't have to preach to what they say, the choir. The best way to offer up a petition. Now, if you come in a prayer line and say, "I need something," we got to pray right then. Okay? If there's a catastrophe, if there's somebody hurt, you got to pray right then. You know, but if you give me a prayer request, what I'm going to do, if I know that something that's got to be really labored over, and we got to win a battle. See, I know, like you know, if you've learned this, the best way to present a request, the most faith-filled way, is to get into that place where your adoration is at an all-time high in worship. And I'm talking about private worship. When you're worshiping Him and you're feeling His essence, and you're knowing that He's the Father and He loves you beyond measure and that He's lifting you up into a place where perfect love casts out all fear. What kind of fear? The fear that says, "What if He doesn't?" And under that saturation of intimacy, when you feel all that, that's the best time. That's the best time. At some point in that, to steal away and you're just worshiping Him and loving on Him and magnifying Him. And then, just like Paul said, sandwich that request right in between with worship, magnifying Him. And then you're so full of Him and you're so full of the essence of His love and you're feeling His intimacy, then you're able to slip that request over to Him. Boy, sometimes I find out that I only have to hardly say a couple of words and it's presented. You know people that pray... This might be mean too. People that pray long in public pray short in private. And I'm not talking about the kind I just described. I'm talking about they don't spend. I've seen people that wore me out trying to pray over a meal. They were trying to catch up for the weeks that they didn't pray, I think. Or they were asked to pray in church over a benediction or an invocation. And I thought, God, my God, help us. Do you know, in that place of adoration, you could just about start to say it, and that's where He comes in, that before you ask, I'll answer. Because you feel He's right there to grab it, and you say, Father, I'm... And you didn't get it. It's a lot of things I begin to ask. I don't even get the request out. And I say, okay. Because I can feel Him corresponding with me without words. And He's saying, I got it. I got it. I received it. And I know, like 1 John says, if we know that He hears us, then we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm saying, Father, go on to the next one. That one was done. I don't feel the need. See, why would you tell Him all about it when He already... I'm going to tell you. And then He said, and then she said, and then... You, my God. He's like, oh, man, just love me and I'll do this for you. In fact, the best way to get somewhere with Him is don't go in there talking to Him, worship Him. And then if you want to find instruction, just be quiet. He knows everything you're going to tell Him anyway. Just start letting Him speak to you. Well, I wanted to tell you this, and I want to tell you this because I wanted to relieve my soul. And some people think if they just you know, and I've had some talk through sessions with God. But I found a higher place with Him when I worship Him, and then I just listen. Because He knows that He can take my thoughts in every direction, and He can settle me. And He can answer every prayer request. This is why Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, because He knows it. And if you'll just begin to make supplication, he said prayer. That was the word worship. You can look it up. That's what I found. But in everything, by worship and requesting in that worship, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is what I like. In the peace of God. The peace of God. Everybody think Him. Say peace. Which passes all understanding. Did you notice here that it says all understanding? It doesn't say some. The peace of God. You know, this is the greatest thing that we have right now. Really. Towards any telltale signs that we're on the right path for revival. Now, because we're relatively small, I could take on an Elijah syndrome. You know what that is? We're the only ones. He said, would you please? He said, I stood up against them. I'm the only one. There's no more like me. God said, wake up, boy. There's 7,000 more prophets that have not bent their knee to Baal. You're not, hello. We could think, well, there were small, so how many more are like us out there? More than we know. That's not what we're taking on. We know that He's called us for a specific purpose. And this peace is really the greatest sign to us. It's coincides with His agape. See, the more you walk into this agape, which is His love, the greater your peace grows. Because right now, we're not groundbreaking on a bigger building. That's usually the signs that you're succeeding. You're doing something for the kingdom. There's no, we're not having to find more places to put people on Sunday. I've not written another, you know, doctorate, which that's not wrong. I've not finished another book, which that's not wrong. But those are the kind of things that make a man feel, or a church feel, hey, my pastor wrote his third book. He just received his doctorate. You know, if you ask people, how is your church doing? They never, ever do they say, man, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking the deaf. They'll say, man, our numbers are increasing. We just started a bigger building. my pastor just got another doctorate, or he just wrote another book. And I'm not against any of those things. But those are the natural, the normal things that tell you that you're succeeding in the kingdom. You're going someplace. We don't have none of those. And I'm not a maverick saying I won't do none of those. I may write a book one day. I'd rather have a book written about me, though. Right now, all I can tell you is that the best I can throw out there is that when hell comes at me and tries to knock me sideways, still that peace is a governing factor in my life. And I know this, that I love people more today than I did 10 years ago. A little bit more, a lot more. A lot more. And you do too. You may think you don't. But if you've been on this walk very long, you do. Even if you used to want to kill people and now you can just tolerate them where you don't think so much about killing them. You've increased. As Jimmy said, you haven't got there yet. But he said this peace would do what? It would pass. That word pass, passeth, means supersede all understanding. Meaning this, that the peace of God has a higher quality or has a higher nature than intellectual understanding. If it's employed by these proper steps here, if it's employed by you worshiping and rejoicing and making your request in the rejoicing, then you'll settle into a place of peace, and that peace will supersede, meaning even when it doesn't make sense. See, sometimes you can logically reason things out and you'll say, well, I shouldn't feel bad. Why? Because, okay, this will work out, that'll work out, maybe they didn't mean what they said there. And you just talk yourself into a relative kind of peaceful kind of state of mind. You can talk yourself in when logic is involved. If you can line up everything. This peace passes understanding. Meaning when it doesn't make sense. See, when it's illogical. When it's totally illogical. When nothing appears. When all the reports. When you can't even reach and grab something that'll say, well, I don't really have much, you know, the report is bad. And it looks like it's getting worse. If you know how to turn yourself over to this revival moving peace, the Bible says here there is something that comes from God, that can come from God, that'll supersede, meaning it has, this peace has a greater quality or a greater character about it than your natural understanding. Meaning it'll come to a place where it supersedes it, it garrisons it, and brings it under subjection to the power of God. And even when you're sitting there saying, this doesn't make sense, but I don't care that it doesn't make sense, because I feel good. And His report of peace to you, if you'll let it saturate you, is not Him saying, I know everything's bad, and I see everything's bad, and it's not going to really, you know, it's probably going to work out like you think it is, but I'm kind of giving you an anesthesia. That's not what peace is. It's not that kind of anesthesia. It's not an inoculation like you get an anesthesia and something bad is happening to you so you can get drunk and you can take it, you can take the bad that's happening to you. His peace is a report from His mind that everything is all right. And it supersedes your logic. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense for me to have peace. Forget about the logic and roll yourself over in that peace. He says His peace can supersede logic. And it can cause you to rest. That's where we have to be to receive an outpouring. That's where we're at. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. Can you say amen? He says, be careful for nothing. But He says this peace will keep your, look what He says here, it'll keep your hearts and your mind. You say, well, I just have peace in my spirit, but my mind, I want to kill myself. No, 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 no. It'll coincide the two. It'll supersede you into a place where you say, has things changed? No, they haven't changed. It's not relative on the momentary season that you're going through, I rejoice in the Lord and I will again rejoice. David said, in all times I will rejoice. But this isn't just, this here is not you just winding yourself up into a, woo, I'm going to run, I'm going to run and rejoice, and I'm going to hype myself up. And then your clock runs down and the emotions go with it. This is so much stronger than that. And I'm not against running. We march Sunday. But I'm talking about, this is not an emotion. This is a peace that passes all understanding. So if it's an emotion, you've got to wind yourself up. You've got to hype yourself up. You've got to keep that clock kind of cranked. And this rejoicing comes from a place where it settles in so deep. Dave said that last year, one time he went to a place in joy, and it was on one of his long fasts, and he says, all I can explain to you is that it was a joy that went way past laughter or anything like that. He said it was a joy that I can only describe that it would be on the nature if you absolutely knew that they were coming down the hall to take your life. Your peace would not in the least be shaken. You'd feel that strength, that joy on the inside. It wasn't a gleeful kind of ha ha ha. Not that that's not joy. That's not a weakness. But he said it went way past that. It went into realms where there was no kind of report that you could receive that shook that place. Are you glad that place exists? My God, I am. He said it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, in conclusion to all this about peace, whatsoever things are true. Now let me just stop right there. You can rejoice, and you can sandwich your request in between rejoicing and thanksgiving. And you can begin to walk in a quietness. Sometimes it takes me days. But I know how to win through the grace of God. I know that if I keep going back to where that peace is poured out, which is my prayer closet, I know I'll win. Because eventually, His peace will supersede and quiet me down. And when He quiets me down, then the deal's on then. It's okay. But did you know also there was an instruction? He said, even after this, if you want to walk in peace, I mean quiet peace, you've still got to give your mind to certain things. See, you can't do one part of it and then give your mind to the world and the report of the world. This is how you replace wrong thinking and bad thoughts and depressive thoughts. You don't replace them by saying, get out of my head. You fill your head up with things that push those things out. You begin to think on truth. When you say, well, they told me this, and it's a truth. No, aren't you talking about a fact? It's a scientific truth. No, you're talking about a fact. Gary's got a tremendous teaching on truth conquers or verses or triumphs facts. Facts and truth are two different things. Truth comes out of God's Word. Truth is that which is, you say, well, Pastor, it's the truth. I'm telling you, no, it may be a fact. It's not a truth unless you're talking about a principle that comes out of the revelation knowledge of God. And that truth can trump all kind of facts. And I'm not illogical from the state of mind and saying, that's not a fact. I'm just telling you, truth will trump fact. But you've got to begin to meditate His Word. Sometimes you got to divorce yourself from those things. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he had a testimony. And I'm telling you this, I'm just sowing this out there. I mean, that man, he really monitored how much of the world he let into his mind. Wouldn't even let a newspaper in his house. How much of what the world is wanting to feed us, do we let hang around? How much of we live in a tremendous, tremendous day of opportunity. I mean, you know, even if you're a businessman or businesswoman, or there's so many things, and some of your day can't be like this because a lot of times you got to be doing. But there's iPods and there's CD players and there, you know, every truck you get into and every vehicle you get into, and we bought one the other day, one of those little things that run. I'm not talking about $200 or $300 one. What was it? It was like $40 that you can put all kinds of Dave's sermons on and Gary's and if you choose to mine, you can. You can fill your world with the wisdom of God. So you're being fed this all the time. So you're hearing from God. You're hearing the wisdom of God. We live in a tremendous, you know, if Paul had this day and hour, he'd have by himself probably won the whole world. But he said, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, how many believe we're going to receive a revival? Things that are pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think on these things. You've got, see, it's not just you doing one thing in the Spirit. He said you also, and this is spiritual too, but He said you've got to fill your mind for this peace to stay. See, the longer you can incubate in peace, I know that we all have peace at times, but at times, then it's like our world's turned upside down. See, the longer you can, it's like a stew. It's like something you're cooking. The longer intervals of peace that you can live under, the more He can work His work of agape inside of you. If you're not disrupted, it's like I was teaching Sunday. What the enemy comes with in the test is to rock your world. He wants to get you out of your rhythm or your routine. And that's why the first one of the quartet, per se, of those four that we started in on Romans, and we're going to teach some more about it. The first one was patience, and that was a godly consistency, the force of consistency, meaning don't stop what you were doing yesterday just because the trial hit. Keep employing the wisdom of God. We're headed towards revival. Hallelujah. And we're here for a purpose. You're here for a purpose. You've all got a ministry. You're sitting next to a revivalist. I'm not just the revivalist here. You're sitting next to revivalists. Your hands are going to be laid on people and the blind will see. That's what you think you're coming here so you can promote me so I can get to a place where my hands are my God. You're the ones that are going to, this is all going to fall on you. But here's the deal. Look what Paul said. I love this verse. I think this will be our last verse. Those things, look, and I'm not epitomizing myself as Paul. When I read this verse about following him, I'm saying, remember a couple months ago we talked about all of us being imitators. We use those verses. Imitators of one another. Us revivalists, look. He said those things, he lists four things here. He said those things which you have both learned. The first thing he says is whatever you've learned, and he uses all these of me. I'll read it first, and then I'll back up to the first one learned. Those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Repeating it again, he said, those things which you have learned. Now he distinguishes this. Paul says, look, I'm in prison. And basically he turned the known world upside down. He was a revivalist. Wherever he went, he shook a city. He shook it. They knew he was there. They knew the city. The devils knew he was there. When Paul would walk into a mall presently today, I'll guarantee you something would happen. He carried the same kind of authority like Jesus would carry. Now, we're headed there. So a lot of you don't see yourself with any possibilities of ever reaching a Paul status. You men and women, you're called to go there. those thrones have not yet been finalized as who's going to sit on there. If your aspiration is to say, I want to follow you, Jesus, and thank God we've been given the inroads, people. We may not know them all, but we've been given the inroads. This is what I was trying to say Sunday. Thank God for all the truths and revelation knowledge that we receive from myself and from other people that come in. But listen, if you're not doing the other part of it, which is spending time in prayer, those truths and spiritual principles will do you no good at all. That didn't get an amen. Somebody has to come even after you have the knowledge of it and empower you to do it. Just the revelation of it doesn't cause you to walk in the fullness of it unless you're spending the time in the place where the Holy Spirit is empowering you to take that revelation knowledge and it becomes a part of you. This is why we continue to teach the how-tos. This is why we teach the how-tos here. Because we teach revelation knowledge. But here's the wonderful thing about the how-tos. If I don't give you the how-tos, if I don't, we don't go into revival. The first how-to, the when you were an infant, 5 seconds old, born again. The very next thing that he wanted, the military genius Satan is, he separated the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the new birth. That was his first military, the most powerful thing he ever did is to take praying in tongues out of the 4th, 5th century church because it was supposed to be a simultaneous thing. You couldn't stand up and orate a great revelation. Most of them didn't even have the Word of God. But the next thing, once you were born again. See, that's why praying in tongues, I'm not saying it's the most important. I am saying it is priority because it is the one who leads you into all the rest. You say, well, is it more important than the Word? I'm not saying it that way. I'm saying it's priority because it will lead you into all the rest. And the moment that you're born again, you need to be filled with the Spirit because it begins to mortify the deeds of the body. Means it gets you ready for revival. Whatever uglies are in you, it begins to pull down those uglies. It is also a revelation gift by Paul's own testimony. He said, the revelation that I have, you can know also as a result of praying in tongues. It gets rid of the uglies. It brings you into revelation knowledge. And Jude says it keeps you in the love of God by building yourself up. It's the first one that God says, look, this is the place. And folks, look, listen. This is, I feel a need right now to just remind you in rejoicing. Remember what you've been giving. Remember that for all of us that are called as revivalists, you cannot exercise that revelation gift enough. Continue to stay in the Spirit and pray and pray and find those places where you can set aside some time on a daily basis. Will it do me any good if I'm just running up and down the road? Yeah, it will. Because there's no prayer in the Holy Ghost that's unprofitable. But when He can lock you away for seasons and you can sit there and you're giving yourself consistently to a place where He can come and He can tear down strongholds because you're spending that hour or two or 30 minutes. And listen, He said it was a reasonable service. He said, render unto Him which is your reasonable service. He didn't say it was unreasonable. He's not going to ask you to start doing what I'm doing, but I'm telling you, here's what He's saying. We've been given a gift that'll take us into the mysteries of God and will prepare us in the days ahead for revival. He doesn't want you to stop doing it, and He wants to give yourself more to it all the time. Hallelujah. Do you understand how wonderful these things are? It's like giving a man a fish or teaching him how to fish. I can come here or I can hire somebody to come in here and give you revelation knowledge and you can jump up and run around. But when they're gone, they're gone. If you don't have the foundation. See, one can live without the other. One can, but the other one cannot exist. What do you mean? If you do the foundation, It'll lead you into all. It'll lead you into all you need in your life for revelation knowledge. You'll continue to walk into Him on your own. See, my job as a pastor is to turn you over to Him to get you where you don't need me. If you pray in tongues enough, you'll come to revelation knowledge. You'll come to understandings. You'll come to places where He's working in you. But if you're receiving revelation knowledge by somebody else's merit and not praying in tongues, that's a dead-end street. I can't live. I can live without the One. I can live without, in essence, having to have somebody always teach me. But I cannot live without the place where the teacher is systematically teaching me on a daily basis. Whew, hallelujah to God. That's good stuff. Those are principles for revival. Those are the things that will cause you to know how free you are and that you can walk into Him systematically on your own. Glory be to God. My God, I feel. Thank you, Jesus. You give me a fish. Yeah, I'll give you a fish, but I'll teach you how to fish. And then both the things that you've learned in me. See, I live right here in the field. I've watched Homer come up here with his boys because he's a coach and there's coaches in here. And then Reuben will come here with his baseball team. And sometimes he's, when they didn't have room in the field, he said, can I teach the boys here? Learning something. This is the distinguishing between the other things, the things that you've seen and heard of me. Learning something, the education that Paul was saying is this. The best way that you can teach somebody is this. I've watched these coaches. They'll say, son, no, wait a minute. You don't do it that way. Now watch this. Now a coach can't hardly do it as good as a player because he can't move like them. But you got to drop your shoulder like this. Or you got to do this, or you do that, or keep your eye on the ball. They can look, this is a coach, they can look at something and see where they're making the mistake and show them the academics of it. He said, you've learned this of me because I used to be a block layer. When I was about 16, that's a tough job. Did it for about 20 years. When I was about 15 or 16, Daddy started training me because he's always been into block work. And it's, you know, if you watch somebody lay blocks and they do it real good, it's quite a skill. And it's enjoyable to watch. And they make it look so easy. Because they're just like, they take the trowel in their hand and they're dipping out of off of a mud board. We call it a mud board. And they're just trowelling that right down the wall like this. And you're thinking, man, I've had people come up and they'd say, man, that is so easy. Can I try? So sure. And then you got to take a block, a 40-pound block, and lay it up against a plumb line and make sure the bottom is square with the block below it and that it's just an eighth of 16th off of the line and that there's no lipping. The blocks can't lip. They've got to be, and you're laying it down on soft, so you got to have a touch. You're laying it down on soft mud. And it's got to stay even with the... See, Daddy would come up after those first days and I'd have that trowel in my hand. Now, I was going from a laborer to an apprentice. And he's a way, way bigger than me at that time, especially. 15, 16. And I kid you not, this is what... He'd reach over me. And I remember those big hands. He'd take my hand and he'd hold the trowel. And he'd get some mud. And he would take it, and he would take his hand on top of mine, and he would twist my hand and slide it down the wall just like it was supposed to take place. That's learning. Because you're not only instructing, you're bringing them into the actual action of the moment. You mothers, when you're teaching your daughters how to cook, you're saying, no, honey, okay, put it in that bowl. If they mess up, it's okay. Too many eggs. Too much baking soda. Too much salt. We've got to do it again. Throw it out. See, when he'd walk away, I'd mess up. The day an hour came, man, I could just fly down the wall. A lot of days I laid 800, 900 blocks. 1,000 blocks. Just flying down the wall. Just never even looking at it. But Paul says here, he said, the things that you've learned. What have we learned from each other? We've learned that we're on this collision course for revival. And if we keep praying in tongues, it's having a work inside of us. It's working inside of us in eternal way to glory. We don't worship praying in tongues. We just know that it is the second work of grace that's been given to the church. And he wants you to receive the next thing. He says here, the things that you have received. Now, I don't know how that was. I don't know if he's talking about received as an impartation by laying on of hands. There's some things you learn by an osmosis of somebody just standing there, working with you. We've worked with each other. Not just me as a pastor, we're working with each other. We understand that how many of you understand that if you keep praying in tongues and keep meditating this word, you're going to be all right. He's going to take us into revival. The meditation of His Word is going to continue to strengthen you to a place where His Word becomes all that you need. It becomes a reality to you. And we've got countless messages on how to meditate the Word. I wrote a paper on it. I've done sermons on it. Dave and Gary's got, we've got tapes over there. I mean, we may go back at times and teach on meditation of the Word. But these are the things that He's asking us to continue. Stay the course. There's no other revelation coming that's going to take us into revival. We just have to do what we know. Stay on course. Meditate the Word. Meditate the Word. Get some of those strong but simple books out of the New Testament. And just get in there and just read it and read it. Well, Pastor, I'm reading the Word, but I'm in Ezekiel. Well, you may be in Ezekiel, so don't nobody get offended. It's so interesting. I mean, there's wheels and things are flying and there's this and that. Do you understand it? No, but it's interesting. Interesting things will not edify you and build you up. Revelation is when it capsulizes in your spirit and you say, I know what it means now, and it becomes part of you. There's a lot of interesting things in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, so you read about, he said, go lay on your side outside of the city and face the wall. Lay for 300 something days on your right side and then so many days on your left side. That's interesting. What's he doing there? I don't know. Isaiah, he told Isaiah, there was a prophet, he said, prophet, he said, I want you to go a year and a half, walk through the Israel naked and prophesy to my people. Can you imagine seeing the prophet coming down the road? Children, get in the house! There's a crazy man coming. I said, what's he doing that for? I don't know, but that won't get any blind kids. Reading that won't get the wheelchairs emptied. Are you against the Old Testament? No, no, no. I'm just saying that that is under the shadow. And if I ask you to come up here and describe me by that shadow, one of you describe me by the shadow and one of you describe me by looking straight at my image, the one looking straight at me would do a much more masterful job. Now, the shadow is wonderful. But please, look into the direct image. And if you've got some temptations, I want to go to Ezekiel and find out all those strange things. Okay, do me this favor. At least spend your time over there in 1 John. Listen, see, this is what I'm saying. It's not going to do you any good to find out why. You know, those things were flying and the wheels were turning. It's not going to do you any good if you're still having a problem loving people. So you need to go to 1 John and devour it and say, well, there's some things in the New Testament I don't understand either, Pastor. I know it, but it's easier to understand something that's a direct image than a shadow. So stay in the direct image. Hallelujah. Stay in His Word. Well, this is good stuff. Hallelujah. So we were just rejoicing the Lord. So He's given us these things. You keep praying in tongues, and you keep going in His Word, and meditate His Word, and meditate His Word. See, I need to my job is to make you really not have to have me here for you to go on with God. That's my job. Not to mention fasting. I was so pleased this past year. I didn't hardly teach on it. A lot of you went into it. Listen, we're not going to be able to receive revival without that too. So that's a big part of it. But, you know, this isn't dampering your night. I'm sure everybody's going to go home and eat that was going to eat. But I'm telling you, the reality of it is, Jesus said, this kind of unbelief, it'll not go out by any other way but by prayer and fasting. And so, it's a part of our life. You know, once you cross that threshold, some of you, no matter, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. I'm finding things about myself that I know I could not and cannot do except I can't do it by even this mental determination. But He said, if the Spirit who raised up Christ from the dead. Now really, that sounds like the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that new nature. That new nature that raised up Christ from the dead. If it dwell in you, it'll quicken you, your mortal body. See, if you're thinking, see, what we got to transition past, we got to lay down the fact that our will's involved. It's not will worship. Here's where our will goes in to effect. It's turning yourself over to Him that changes you and quickens you and says, you are more than you think you are. You can do more than you think you can do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Aren't you glad He just comes and reminds us again and again? Stay in the Spirit. Keep praying in tongues. It's the most simple one. It's so simple. It's so simple it feels insignificant. It feels like it's really not even doing anything for you to mumble those words hour after hour after hour. But believe me, it's the thing that's making your world go forward. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You so much. We give You all the praise and all the glory. You are who You say You are, and we're so appreciative. And again, I thank You for all these wonderful revivalists that are in here. We don't think of ourselves that sometimes because we see too much of our own weaknesses in the mirror. But Father, we're really Your hopeful in the earth. And I thank You because You've crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. So we bless You again. Give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.